T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
All right, so much going on down here that Craig Rivet is extremely confused today.
He's not confused.
Too many wobbly pops on the birthday, old buddy.
Look at Cody coming in to hang out.
I could tell who's playing hooky from school here. I got the little guy creeping in behind me. That's not supposed to happen.
So when you called the school this morning, Petey, and you said, "Yeah, my son won't be at school. He's
and then,
sick."
And the lady he's said, sick. "Is there a reason?" I clicked. I said, "Oh, he's not going to click by."
And all of a sudden, he shows up like
he
in the
shows
back
up
of
on
the
TV. So there you go. I mean, you know, I'm Ferris Bueller. I'm the guy that skips out of school and I catch the ball at the ball game and I'm on TV.
Yeah,
that's exactly.
Anyway,
what it is.
So you know, let's
worse though. You could have driven to the wrong place of work this morning.
Well,
and been grumpy.
Hey, Rip, we've officially now had terrible starts to our mornings.
It's been a long morning. It's been a long morning already. I showed up to the New Era Field and I pulled in, and my first thing that clicked my memory was, Petey is never late. He's always there before me. I drive in every day and I see his car. And that was the first thing that I was like,
making you
wow.
A little nervous?
Well, I was like, wow. I hope he's feeling okay. That's
I should call him. Maybe he's pulled over on the side of the road and has a flat
tire. You know,
I don't
know. Petey's going to fight through everything. I was thinking to myself, he must be sick and he needs a little bit more time to get to work today. So I pull around and I park my car and I get out of my car and I start walking. I've got my badge to get into the facility.
How close did you get?
And I was at the door. And I realized, and I looked back, and I said, where's JJ's car?
Yeah.
And that's my second thing. So once I said, okay, Petey's not here, JJ's not here, I clicked the door, I started to open it, and realized that we were at the rink.
So you didn't even go in, right? You just opened.
I did not go in, but I clicked the door, and I just thought to myself, what the heck? Come on. How's my brain's just not working. Then I phone Petey, and he's laughing his head off for 3 minutes on the phone.
Can I tell you something, Riv?
I was dying laughing. I'm like, you got to be kidding
Petey,
me, man.
This morning, about 7:02, I still have the proof in my phone. 7:02, I got a text from producer JJ saying, friendly reminder, we are at Harbor Center this morning. But it wasn't to the group chat. It was directly to me. So you did not get that text.
It's interesting, JJ. Well done.
Yes. Yeah, so
no, very well done, JJ. You know why? You know why? And feel free to chime in here, JJ. Riv, we left here yesterday knowing, I said at the end of the show, we're back here tomorrow. Training camp's open. We're at Harbor Center. Blah, 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 blah. The reminder was for Marty because Marty's not here every day. Marty's at horse shows. Marty's all over the place.
Oh.
Yep.
But I did listen to the show on demand driving back from Syracuse yesterday, so I was all caught up on the 12.6 body fat that you, Rivs, felt was the best shape of your life. And,
No.
When you guys were telling Palmer about you walking into the room and shaking everybody's hand and Petey leaving, and so I listened to all the interviews on demand, which was great, and I heard at the end of the show, Petey say, oh, we'll back here at the Harbor Center tomorrow. Sabres
So you didn't even need the reminder.
I didn't need the reminder, all right. But I knew it.
Well,
so.
You know what? We're the instigators. Case script, Craig needs a reminder of who we are. WGR 550 and MSG. Getting old hard, eh, buddy?
I have blackouts.
I called him this morning. The first thing I said was, happy birthday. three days in a row. I'm like, may as well go for the hat trick.
Yeah.
Anyway, training camp opens here at Harbor Center, and Let's stop screwing around. There's so much to talk about. I mean, from Carlson trade to Sagan, training camp opening, expectations Marty, there's a few things you want to talk about.
Yeah.
Want to get your thoughts on Robin Lehner's article. We'll talk about that a little bit later.
I read it last night. I read a little bit
and
about
it. And you read it in its entirety?
It's very powerful.
Yeah.
It is very powerful.
You know what the big thing, and I was my son had a hockey practice yesterday, and so I was talking to a few of the coaches that were on the ice before my son's practice, and they said to me, they said, hey, did you read about Robin Lehner? And I said, yeah. I mean, it's one of those things where you knew there was something because, I mean, I'd gotten to know Robin a little bit over the last few years here. And I've even been on the ice with Robin doing, you know, informal skates and goalie practice. And one day, you know, it was just very dark and he didn't really feel like working and he didn't really want to put in the attention to details. And then the very next day, 24 hours later, he is smiling and happy and was telling me, complimenting me on how great practice was and how he loved the drills and if he can do more of this the next day. And it was very up and down, right? And
yeah.
And so a lot of the powerful message in the article to me is the fact that, well, two things. One, he got tremendous help from Jason Botterill, from Andrew Allen, from the coaching staff, from the Sabres to be able to handle this situation at the end of the season and still throughout the summer. But two is that he was afraid. Robin Lehner was afraid.
Wasn't Lehner absent from the year-end meetings?
Yeah, yeah.
Last day he was absent.
He was not there. So, but yes. The second part is that Robin Lehner was afraid to talk about, you know, he said he went into meetings before being a free agent and teams kept, like, drilling him about being a bad teammate and being moody and inconsistent, and he was afraid to talk to them about, hey, I've just been diagnosed with bipolar. I've been drinking a case of beer a day, and I've been popping pills, and he was afraid because of the perception that would be. And I just hope that more and more of those type of articles, more and more of those type of stories,
I understand
will
that
take
because
that away.
You want to know something? I understand his fears in that regard because there are people out there, believe it or not, that would be like, I don't want to deal with that. I don't want to deal with that.
And that's their decision. Like, if I walk in and I say to the coach or the general manager, and I say, you know what? I've had hip issues my whole career, and, you know, it's a maintenance thing, and I got to be on top of it, but my hip will be a situation. I may not want to divulge that 100%, but at the same time, now it's the general manager or the team's decision to say, hey, do we have the people in place to handle his physical, I will call it a disability, but his injury or whatnot, and can we deal with it? I think the mental aspect of it is the same thing. Like,
you
should be able to go in and
a lot
and
of
just
teams are going
to
be scared off. Like, you know, if I were GM sitting in there trying to speak with an unrestricted free agent goaltender, and he's telling me that, well, I've got a drinking problem, and I had a pill problem, and I've been diagnosed with being bipolar,
yep,
and, you know, just all this information coming out of that small interview where you're trying to get to know this player, what's going to happen?
Well, my point is it should be weighted as much as injury history as the fact, say,
I don't think so.
You know, you've had to have
two. I don't
think
so at all.
It's the same thing. It's the exact same thing.
It's not the same thing.
Yes, because a mental illness is the same to me as a physical illness.
In terms of being able to go out and perform, but I don't think it's the same.
Your physical illness only is going to hurt your the individual.
Yes.
The mental illness of a player could hurt an entire team.
No, but my point is that it should be handled in the same way. Listen, if you sign... I'm going to use Teppo Nieminen for an example. When Teppo was here, he had a heart issue, okay? He basically, like, if you sign a player and you know he has a heart issue and you're going to give him the medical support to be able to keep him healthy and yeah, keep him safe and to be able to perform at the highest of his ability and help the team, then you weigh that pros and cons. Is that going to be a situation where we want him for 82 games, but he'll only play 40? Because it affects everybody in the locker room as well. Yeah. And the fact that he'll play or not. I think somebody that deals with depression or mental illness or alcoholism or drugs or whatever, as a team, you should be able to take that same information and analyze it the same way you would with a shoulder injury or a knee injury.
And I get that. But as a GM, if I'm listening to all this information and I know a player has a heart issue or a bad hip flexor or a shoulder, I'm moving on to the next guy because I don't want to have to deal with that.
Exactly.
If Robin Leonard is sitting in a room and they're peppering because you're moody, you've shown signs of negative behavior in the past, blah, 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 blah. And then all of a sudden, if he were to come out and say the things, I'm an alcoholic. Yeah. I took pills. All this other stuff that he's been diagnosed
PTSD, with. PTSD.
I mean,
all that stuff. Yeah.
99% of the GMs in this league are just going to say, you know what? He's a very good goaltender, but we just don't need that. We just don't need that.
But again, that's their decision.
But you know what?
But he should be able to put it on the table and let them make that decision.
What did you just say?
What
did you just say? You just finished with what? He's a what?
He's a great goaltender.
And if that's something that's been hampering him and he has gone back and gotten the help and had a good off season mentally and, you know, done treatments and all that stuff, which he has, he sounds like it. Putting this on paper has to be almost closure for him, right? Wouldn't you say?
For him.
Yeah.
It's probably part of a step for him to get acceptance for himself. He says, I'm not writing this for people to feel bad about me.
No.
Or
but
it's
think
like
about the
for
timing
himself.
Think about the timing of this, the release of this article. Right? When did it come out? Yesterday?
Yep.
Or the day? Or the night before?
Yesterday morning.
Okay. So it came out yesterday morning, day of training camp. What happens when you read that and you're his teammate? You go up to him, you put your arm around him, no matter what. It doesn't matter who it is. It doesn't matter anything. Where you're from, it doesn't matter. When you read that about a teammate that has the same logo on that you do, you go up, you put your arm around him, and he is going to get, he probably received, a tremendous amount and an overwhelming amount of support yesterday from
extremely.
His teammates, management, fans in Long Island. And when you want to talk about opening up to a new fan base,
yeah.
I mean, this guy's going to step on the ice, and they are going to have his back on a nightly basis because they know what he's been dealing with and what percentage of the population is dealing with something,
and
right?
But the other thing here. Okay, so Jason Botterill is what? Like, how old is Jason Botterill?
41, 42?
No, he's 43, maybe
43,
44.
Yeah.
Okay, Lou Lamoriello is 75 years old. And so don't go out and tell me that, well, the old school guys wouldn't accept it and wouldn't be able to handle it. And maybe a guy like Jason Botterill is a younger man and a new school guy, and he may be able to handle it. Because Lou is out there.
Well, I think society
Lou,
as a whole
Lou had a really
has really opened up the eyes to mental illness
and
things like
that stigma that says, well, I mean, the older generation can't wrap their hands around it. They can't understand that. They just think it's a weakness, and it's, but Lou's 75 years old, and Robin in the article said that he probably wouldn't have been able to be where he is right now if it hadn't been for the Islanders and Lou Lamoriello and Jason Botterill and the Buffalo Sabres. So my point is that in this day and age, in 2018, with everything that we've read and seen about Nick Borton and Dan Carcillo, and I played with Derek Bougard and
Steve
Montador, that we should be able now
Rick Rippon
to just look at somebody, and if he came up and says, hey, listen, I've dealt with depression and, okay, but I need your help and I need your support. As a team, if you believe in the talent of the player, you will provide the support because you know that it'll be a valuable asset for your team. That's plain and simple. I played with Sean Avery, and Sean was very much the same type of guy. Like, in his manic days, he was a great player. He was a fun guy to be around. In his depressed, like, mood, he was very hard to handle. But at the same time, I think that the Rangers tried to help him. He did not have the same help in Dallas. That's why he wanted to get out of there. So there's... That's how it works, and teams should be able to support those guys. And listen, if Rivs, as you pointed out, you put the pros and cons on your sheet, and just like a physical injury, it's too much of a gamble for your team, and you can't jump in, then you just say, I can't do it. And that's fine, but you've made an educated guess and not one that says, oh, I don't want to deal with mental health and mental issues. No, it should be on the same step as a knee injury, a shoulder injury, concussion issues. It should all be laid out there, and you make your decision with all the information.
Well, this is not something that we're putting it on the same page as a shoulder injury, because it would be putting on the same page as a shoulder, a knee, and a back injury with Robin.
No, yeah.
Because he's got multiple issues.
They weigh a little heavier, yes.
I'll say this. I think it, in any way, what we're talking about, whether it's physical ailment or mental ailment, it can affect your ability to play. And they're both different, but they both, you know, I think you handle them differently. Yep. You know, is I think what we're talking about here. Instigators, Andrew Peters, Craig Revay, Marty Biron here, always on Friday. We're live at the Harbor Center. We are on WGR 550 and MSG. Why are we at the Harbor Center? Because yesterday was Craig Revay's birthday. And he asked if we could do the show from Harbor Center to cover training camp. And he got his birthday wish. So we're down here. The big boys are on the ice. Jack Eichel, practice sweater, number 9. Risto's on the ice.
You want to know the lines, Petey?
So fire Sabres, away, Marty. Let's hear
it. Sabres tweeted lines for Group A this morning. So we have Jeff Skinner on the left with Jack Eichel in the middle, Kalaposo on the right. We have Alex Nylander left wing with Patrick Berglund in the middle and Josh Bailey on the right.
Justin.
Josh Bailey. We're
talking
Josh
Islanders.
Bailey. Yeah, we're
talking
Islanders.
I'm here to help you guys out.
Justin Bailey. Olofsson on the left with Larson and Ogilvy. And Wilson, Kriskola, Cornell, and Glotov are the four guys right now down there. Scandella, Ristolainen as a pair. Dahlin, McCabe as a pair. Pilot and Fadoon. Stevens and Redmond. So there's some interesting little twists here. The fact that Oposo. Everybody says I pronounced the K too much, but Oposo.
Well, whoa. Let's stop right there for a second. He said yesterday his nickname is Oki.
Yeah.
So if you're going to,
Ox. We used to call him Ox in Long Island.
Oh, that's right. You played with him.
Yeah.
What year was that?
2010.
Yeah, he was a rookie in 9-10. Yeah.
So okay. Anyway, so Oposo with Eichel and Skinner are very interesting. To see that maybe they're looking at Oposo having a very much of a bounce back season and see what he can do with a line with tons of speed. Skinner, tons of speed. Eichel, tons of speed. Oposo said it yesterday. He's not the fastest skater. He's never been the greatest of skater. But maybe with two guys that can really buzz, he can find his way around.
You know, I'll say this, Marty, just to jump on what you're saying there. You know, we talk about guys that are... There are different guys that are different in interviews. Some guys have more energy and some guys are more bubbly. Some guys are more quiet. He is more quiet, but the information that he gave us yesterday about the skating coach, the edge work, lack of confidence in his skating.
Yeah.
Then you said, Riv, right there, you said, what does that mean? I was thinking the same thing. I'm like, what does that mean?
What did he say? He was 220 and was getting pushed off the puck because he was not balanced.
Yeah, he said he didn't have confidence in his speed. He was getting pushed off pucks.
6 foot 220 in this league is like it's pushing over a fire hydrant.
Yeah.
It's pushing over a fire hydrant. Good luck. But you know what? It's about him and between his ears and not feeling comfortable with the way that he felt on the ice. And like I had told Petey, I was up at a tournament in Toronto last weekend, and all I had parents coming over to me and saying, oh, you got to go see. Kalaposto's doing an individual one-on-one skate with a skating guru from Toronto. So he's put the time in. He's put the time in to feel more comfortable on his edges. And I think he's pumped. He wants to get going, and he wants to get back to being the Kalaposo of two years ago. Yeah, exactly.
Well, so. You know what? No. Like, let's even be generous about his season last year when there isn't really much to praise in a lot of guys. His second half of the season after a terrible first half,
yep.
I mean, he'll call it terrible.
I'd call it terrible.
I think we all would, and the same goes for Sam. They both had strong second halves. So if he can just pick up where he left off, and I'm not saying statistically, just how he felt, how he started to feel on the ice, confidence, the comfort, the flow, the conditioning was back. I mean, I do have high expectations for him, and how can you not? He signed here on a big contract, $6 million per year, and it wasn't to come here and be a veteran presence to the young guys. It was come here to be a difference maker, and I feel like a healthy... You know, mind, body, and soul with every player, Sam included. Jack sounds like he's he's got a lot of excitement and optimism for this year. And I mean, his comments yesterday were they're big boy comments.
I think the message.
Risto's comments yesterday with you guys was we identify what went wrong and we know now how to fix it and how to move on. It felt like every year, the last 4 or 5 years, there was never really any reasoning behind it. It was just all, you know, changing coaches, changing general manager, changing philosophy. Yeah. No, this to me sounds like from Jack to Risto to everybody else in the lineup, they've been able to finally look at each other in the mirror and come up with a solution. And maybe that comes that comes with from up top.
I think it starts with Jason Bottrell.
Jason Bottrell, yes, absolutely.
And Jason Bottrell went down after the season and said, there's a lot of unacceptable things.
Yep.
Things need to change here. I will do my part, but I'm going to tell you right now, when each individual goes home this summer, you better do your part. You collectively bring that together. All the players have now watched what Jason Bottrell has done in the offseason. You know, obviously winning the lottery is key for the Buffalo Sabres moving forward with having the ability to pick Erasmus Dahlin and have that young player grow. But the Casey Mittelstadt, bringing in older veteran players and Hunwick, Sheary, Skinner, Berglund, Sobotka, this is a changed environment because all those new players coming here don't know what Buffalo has gone through the last 5 years, 6 years. They're coming in looking fresh, which Jack gets to see. Bogosian, all these guys that have been around, Ristolainen, they look at these new players coming in and the smile and wanting to be competitive. The environment has changed.
Right now it's about be part of the solution, don't be part of the problem.
Yep.
And if you're part of the problem, Jason Bottrell basically said, we're not going to deal with it. You know, we're moving on. We're bringing people that want to be part of the solution. Another little tidbit of information from the lines that surprised me, and we talked about Oposo with Eichel and Skinner, is Dahlin paired up with McCabe. And obviously, you look at Dahlin, a left-hand shot, can play both the left and the right side defenseman, but right now sticking on the left side in prospect camp, played with Will Borgen, lefty, righty. Now Dahlin McCabe. That to me is interesting to see that they would pair those two in Group A and see what they get from, because McCabe could be physical. McCabe could be more of a stay-at-home defenseman, could be that strong foundation that Dahlin may need to just play freely, right?
Okay, so my next question, Scandella, Ristolainen, Dahlin playing left side with McCabe, who's a left-handed shot but can play right side. Feels very comfortable on the right-hand side. What is your mind, what are you thinking right now when you see that in the next group? What are you thinking right off the bat?
In the next group is
Gouli and
Bogosian.
I'll take it.
Hey,
we got it together. We all got it.
I got it.
Group effort.
I'm part of this.
Effort. Yeah, Marty, you're
that's what I'm going to be looking for.
43% of the effort.
Yeah. I'm going to be looking to see if Zach Bogosian and a Brendan Gouli can play together, to see if they're even paired together, to see if that's maybe a look that they want to do. So I'll be interested to see that. It'll come out in the next little while, I would imagine. But, I mean, this is...
Have to think that would be it, because in Group 2, you've got Bogosian, Tennyson, Nelson, Borgen, Hickey, Gouli, and Beaulieu. So the only two that I can see that would be like two that are going to be part of the top six in that group are Bogosian and Gouli.
What about Beaulieu?
Well, Beaulieu's not a top six. He's not a top six
Marty,
guy.
2 years ago, he had 28 points.
He's not a top six guy in my book right now.
Well,
Hickey is a support system. Borgen is a Rochester guy. Nelson is a support guy. Tennyson's a Rochester guy. So really, there's only Gouli and Bogosian. So those two will have to be
paired
together.
I would hate to sit there and take a Nate Beaulieu and say he's not a top six player in the National Hockey League. Which
he's not as of now. As of September 14th, he's not right now.
Name me a defenseman right now. Name me a defenseman last year on the Buffalo Sabres on that very that team struggled immensely. Name me one defenseman that had success.
One D that had success last year?
Just give me one.
Oh, I think that is that like a trick question? There weren't any.
There weren't any, really.
Well, that, listen, I mean, it's not a trick question. It's a simple question. What defense had success last year?
None.
Okay. So let's not crap on Nate Beaulieu and say that he's not a top six. Meanwhile, he is a first-round draft pick. He came from Montreal, had 28 points. Listen, the kid's a better defenseman than maybe what we saw on a very bad team that had no chemistry, no defensive play.
Well, wouldn't that be great if that were true, right?
No, that's
because,
exactly
because
it.
If that's true,
are drinking your own Kool-Aid over here, and that's fine.
No, you know what? No, we're not, like, Marty. You know what we're doing? You know what we're doing? We're not giving up on guys.
Thinking.
Like I feel like that's what we're doing.
Why is
it wishful thinking?
Because wishful thinking is like, oh, I can't wait to see Gergensen play this year because I think he'll be really good.
No, that's not what we're saying.
You know what, Nathan?
What we're saying.
Wishful thinking was a year ago saying,
he's gone full media. He's twisting our words now, Riff.
Listen, wishful thinking was a year ago saying, oh my goodness, this is going to be great because we've got Jack Ryan O'Reilly, Sam Reinhart. This is going to be fantastic. Everything is rosy, cheeky, and everything is great. Nathan Beaulieu right now, and last year there was no defense that had good seasons with the Sabres, but Nathan Beaulieu was one of the worst of the guys that had bad seasons. Okay? So he has an uphill battle here, and it's not even like close to being, you know, you look at, he has a very, very big hill to climb. And if he goes all in and performs and it looks really good and the team is willing to say, hey, let's really give you more to
let
see what you got,
you
fine.
Let's break down Nate Beaulieu and how crappy he was last year.
Well.
Does he have size?
I'm not going to.
Solid size. Can he skate? Above average. Can he shoot? Does he have offensive abilities? Yes, yes, and yes. Is he physical? Yes. I mean, he checks a lot of boxes, but I'm going to tell you right now, do you think that he's happy as a young player? Do you think he's happy with the season that he had last year?
I can ask nobody
should be happy with last season.
I can ask him five questions.
Yeah, but don't. You know why?
Because
I promised our group in the rundown that I would be out of here by 10:26. We can come back and talk Carlson trade, Sagan deal.
Cares about Carlson trade. It's a terrible trade. Let's get back to our boys. How about that?
No, we got to take
cares
a break.
About Carlson. It's a bad deal.
It's good. It affects the Sabres. That's their division.
Oh my
a team
God.
In their division is getting worse.
Mwah.
You know what? Maybe we should send him back to the new Ella Field.
I want
to
hear
saying
field.
Right
I want to hear your five things that I'm going to disagree with on Nate Beaulieu.
Write them down.
When we come back, the five things that Rivs is going to disagree with right here with Marty Biron, Andrew Peters, Craig Gervais, Instigators, WGR 550, and MSG. We'll be right back from the Harbor Center.
More of the Instigators with Andrew Peters and Craig Gervais.
Yeah, we're back here at the Harbor Center. The boys are on the ice, and
They're flying.
It is a fast-paced practice that they are doing right now. Andrew Peters, Craig Rivet, Martin Biron here, live on WGR 550 and MSG. I don't know about you guys, but I'm excited that hockey's back because, you know, gives us something to talk about. A lot of trades and stuff yesterday. You have captain being named in Arizona. I'm going to get your thoughts on that in a little bit. Going to get your thoughts at some point today, Craig, on the Carlson trade. Tyler Seguin's, Taylor Seguin, his contract in Dallas. But Marty,
well, we teased.
Craig said that you had five questions for him that he's going to disagree with all of them.
You know, Rivs, you say, oh, does he have size? Can he skate? Can he shoot? And all of that, and I get that. But I'm going to ask you five questions about Nathan Beaulieu, and I want you to answer them as honestly as you can.
Can I see them? Can I read them as you're... Go ahead.
Okay. So, number one, does he have hockey IQ?
That's hockey IQ.
Does he have good hockey sense?
Yes.
I would say no. I say he gets lost in the defensive zone quite often.
Sure you do.
And whatever.
Yeah, you saw the forwards last year, right? They were helping out.
That doesn't matter. Number two.
Great job.
Is he
typical
disciplined?
D-man blaming the forwards.
What's that?
No,
is he disciplined?
No. Listen, Marty. I mean, if you're going to throw questions out there and he's going to answer them, debate it.
We have to move on to Carlson.
We're going to get to Carlson. Don't worry.
No.
People will stick around for Carlson to hear you guys argue.
Is he disciplined?
Well, that question.
No, I'm asking. It's yes or no answer.
No. It's not a yes or no answer. No, you're talking about, does he take stupid penalties or is he disciplined in the way that he plays, positioning, everything else? You got to be more specific, or I'm not going to answer the question.
Okay. In terms of taking penalties, is he disciplined?
Woo! Riv is fired up.
No more undisciplined than any other saver.
So I heard no. Right? We cut after the first answer. He said no.
Okay. No more.
No. Does he play fast?
Nobody played fast on the Buffalo Sabres last year.
No,
the answer is no.
No.
So we're talking about individual, right? So you basically just named all of the Buffalo Sabres.
Let me ask you a question. Does he fit with this group?
I don't know.
Okay.
Does Ristolainen fit with the group?
Yeah, absolutely.
Bull.
Okay.
He has the worst analytics in the National Hockey League.
It doesn't matter.
Get rid of him, Marty, because he's crap.
You know what was crap last year?
Let
me tell you this.
Don't sit there and start naming individual players.
Risto does not fit with this group as a number one defenseman, and that's what he's been the last few years. But if you put him, if Dahlin elevates as a number one defenseman in the next year or two, Risto obviously fits with this group at a much lesser role and can play his game. I think he fits. Okay, and my last question for you is Nathan Beaulieu a long-term option on the Buffalo Sabres?
No.
No. Okay. And that's probably the most important, because if Gouley is a long-term option, if Dahlin's a long-term option, if McCabe's a long-term option, if Ristolainen and Scandella are a long-term option, you can't put Beaulieu in the six because he's not a long-term option for this team.
You can if you're going to put Gouley in the minors and give him more experience.
Okay, well, then I'd much rather say Hunwick may be a better option, Nelson may be a better option than Nathan Beaulieu is.
Yeah, Nate Beaulieu is 6'2". He's a 205-pound guy. Yeah. He skates extremely well.
I just love him because he knocked out Matt Martin last year.
He can fight.
I'll take that in a heartbeat. And you know Phil Housley is looking for some grit. I don't care what era it is, you know, like there's a need for grit still in this league. And I don't know if he's a grit guy, but I mean, you know, he knocked out Matt Martin, so that made me happy. I'll take him for another year just for that.
Nate Beaulieu had 28 points in 74 games, plus 8, coming to our team last year. Last year, he ended in 60 games. He had 9 points and minus 19.
And after that great season you talk about Montreal says, you know what, we're going to trade you for nothing.
And what was the reason for that? Don't start to be extra smart now, Marty, like you're outsmarting everybody.
Off-ice issues.
No, you know what? The reason why they traded him, because he would have been lost in the expansion draft. So they had to get rid of him for a third-round draft pick. And Jason Botch will say, I'll take him. Excellent, because he would have been picked in the expansion draft. So don't start to get smart.
He would not have gotten picked in the expansion
100%
draft.
100% he would have.
Oh, boy.
Well, who did they take from Montreal?
I don't
Do
even
we
know?
Know. Who did... who did Vegas take?
Wait till you see this, who they picked.
Do you know who it is? Don't pretend like you know who it is, Riv. Who was it? Was it Pauly Byron?
No, who did they pick?
No, they didn't take...
Montreal Canadiens.
He's like a minor league guy.
Alexi Hemlin. That's who they picked. They were not going to pick Nathan Beaulieu. They picked
I would have taken
Hemlin
over Beaulieu anyway. But
and Hemlin was what? Like a... What was he? Late 20s, 30? Then they traded him to Nashville right after that.
Yeah, they traded him to Nashville right after that.
All right, so, you know, we're getting, you know, thoughts here from fans and Twitter. You can tweet at Marty Biron 43, at Craig Revay 52. I'm at Beside Craig. Show is the Instigators. And we're live on WGR 550 and on MSG. We're down at the Harbor Center here for the opening day officially on the ice for the Sabres. And they're practicing. And I will say this.
Let me tell you something. Harry,
I'm not confident with much that I say, but I'm confident with this. This is a very high-paced, high-energy physical practice.
No, it is. During the commercial, the drill we saw was a 2-on-2 continuous. So the players would go 2-on-2 up the ice, 2 forwards against 2 defensemen. And after making a play to the net, they would both forwards have to go touch the wall and re-attack by passing the puck to the point. D to D pass, shot on net, try to get a deflection. The D had to box the players out. And then from that point on, the two players that would come in, swoop in, get a puck, and go back 2-on-2. They went back and forth, back and forth. It was really high tempo pace. It was physical. Guys would go to the front of the net. Kalaposo made a really nice move. He was to his forehand, back end. He pulled in his forehand, made a pretty good shot. So, yeah, this is what I love about training camp and watching practice, is because you can actually
see. That's
what
I love
everybody.
About training camp right there, Chris Bandura.
Chris Bandura walking around, shaking hands, kissing babies.
Yeah, he is shaking hands.
Okay, let's move on you guys really want to talk about Erik Karlsson.
No. We have to, Marty.
We have to.
We are a hockey show, and we owe it to the public that listen to give our opinion on the Karlsson trade. I've heard so many people say, and I sent out a tweet yesterday, and I'm not so sure that Ottawa got as robbed as, yes, it's not, there are no superstars being returned. There's no first-round pick, but San Jose didn't have one. Do you know why? Belongs to the Buffalo Sabres.
So that'll slide.
That's the next year.
It could slide 2 years.
Okay, it slides 2 years. But my point is they picked up this kid Norris, first-round pick, Chris Tierney. I looked up the other kid as a defenseman, DeMello. I think he had 20 points in 62 games or something.
You want to know the funniest thing about DeMello, though? Is he was not qualified by the San Jose Sharks at the end of the season. He was a free agent for 10 days, then re-signed with the Sharks, and then they trade him. So there's a player that, you know, the Senators maybe really wanted in the trade, but that San Jose was willing to part ways for nothing.
Yeah, so I guess my point is this. What were the odds that he was going to re-sign there? Could they have gotten more at the deadline? Who knows? What if he was hurt at the deadline?
No,
like you got to pull the trigger on this deal now, because if Carlson's hurt at the deadline and you can't move him.
You know what that proves you? You know, you look at the Skinner trade. You look at the Pacioretty trade. You look at even the Galchenyuk trade. You look at the Carlson trade. Or you look at the O'Reilly trade. It shows you that when a team is advertised to the rest of the world that a player is on the market and that your displeasure with a certain player, that the value drops. Like Ryan O'Reilly, Jason Botterill always said, Ryan O'Reilly is part of our team. He's part of our plan moving forward. We like him. And I really believe that if they didn't trade Ryan O'Reilly, they'd be happy to have him on the team.
Yeah,
but once the offer kept coming up and up and up and up, then you have to make the trade. But if you're Montreal Canadiens and you keep saying Pacioretty, he's asked for a trade, he's out, he's not going to play with the Canadiens again, the price is dropping. Erik Karlsson, the price was dropping. Alex Galchenyuk, the price was dropping. Jeff Skinner, the price was dropping. The Sabres made out by able to acquire Skinner when the price was low and traded O'Reilly when the price was high, and were able to put that together and rebuild their team. Ottawa have not been able to rebuild their team by trading
Hoffman
and Karlsson.
It got worse with Pajot. I know Riv doesn't think very highly of Pajot, but he's a good player. He's
Pajot, he got hurt. He got an Achilles injury yesterday. In the
third-line guy. Third-line guy on any team.
Great penalty killer.
You know what? They're going young anyway. You look at some of the guys that they have in Ottawa. They want to go young. They want to do the youth movement. And that's okay. You know, losing a guy like Pajot almost forces them to put another young guy in the lineup. Maybe he's going to go through some tough times throughout the season playing big boy hockey in the National Hockey League, but it gives them a chance to see what they have. I know that they have that great big huge, he was a first round draft pick,
Logan Brown.
Yes. They picked 2 or 3 years ago. He's a 6'5".
Yes.
215-pound centerman, very, very talented young kid. He is now going to have a chance to step into this lineup, and he's going to have a chance to play some minutes. So this is sometimes when you lose a player like Pajot, who is a very solid player for Ottawa, sometimes it can be
Colorado's got to be licking their chops right now, boys. They are they are the happiest team on the planet right now.
Well, there was a poll out there. The top three people that were elated with this trade. And the first one was Doug Wilson, obviously the general manager of San Jose, acquiring Erik Karlsson. The second was the Colorado Avalanche and Joe Sakic. And the third one was everybody else around was just happy to see this kind of move. Me, I would flip those. I think Joe Sakic is the happiest person in the world right now because it just
he gets a tank pick and he doesn't even have to tank.
Well, he already did. He already did and he got his picks. But here's the thing. Doug Wilson, why he probably is number one on the list is because the San Jose Sharks are going for it. They are going all in by signing Evander Kane, by going after Carlson.
Tavares.
They were big on the Tavares, so they're letting the world know we are all in. So what's going to happen at the trade deadline this year is San Jose is going to be kicking tires on everybody available again.
Yes.
They're going to just mortgage the future.
I think Doug Wilson has realized that he's been GM of the San Jose Sharks for upwards of 20 years, okay? He has yet to win a Stanley Cup. He's been a team that has been always in the race, in the running. They've been a team that's been very successful in the playoffs, but he wants to win a Stanley Cup. And he's at that point right now where he will trade every asset that he has to get it done this year. To try and win the Stanley Cup
this
year.
This could be Joe's last year. See Jumbo Joe's response?
Joe Pavelski is not getting younger. Yes. They need to win now. Yeah. Brent Burns, every year this goes on, Brent Burns gets a little older. Joe Pavelski, Logan Couture.
Is Paul Martin back there?
No, he is now not there anymore. So
he's now not there.
Now
you know
that
he. Do you know that he?
He went to the minors last year, I think. Did
you know that he? Every year that he had been in the NHL, he made the playoffs.
Yes.
He is one of the most underrated defensemen of the last 15 years.
Extremely intelligent.
So, yeah.
No.
Played with him in Jersey.
Lost a step, obviously.
Well, of course he did. But the years that he had,
he played 14 games last year with the San Jose Sharks, and most of the year. He spent it in the minors. Played eight, so he was hurt a lot last year. 18 games in the minors and 14 games in the National Hockey League last year for Paul Martin.
Look at his numbers. So,
Marty,
consistent.
What are your thoughts like when you think of when you hear Erik Karlsson being traded? Right away, before you read anything or look up the actual trade, you're thinking extreme. You're thinking that these guys are going to knock it out of the park. I can't wait to see the return. And when I read this,
well, I didn't think San Jose was going to be giving up a ton of like key future pieces. They gave up
Chris Tierney. Okay,
here's the thing.
Chris Tierney was a third line player on San Jose.
Nobody,
they basically
really.
They gave up nobody.
Here's the thing: when I saw Karlsson got traded, number one, I said, "What has happened to the Ottawa Senators in the last 2 years? They went from the Hamburglar 2 years ago." 3 years ago, having a fantastic like season to save their year, and they played the Montreal Canadiens in the first round.
All right.
The year after that, they didn't make the playoff. Last year was Craig Anderson.
Squeeze it in, Marty.
And Nicole Anderson and his wife and the cancer treatment. And
the emotions.
Together.
Their emotions of that team.
They were a goal
carried
away 2 years ago from going to the finals.
Yep.
But the Ottawa Senators are, to me, they were a mirage. They were a hot and cold and hot and cold and hot and cold type of organization. And they were a player or two away, or one or two bad things happening to the team to crumble, and now it's crumbling.
All right, we got to go to break. When we come back, dis or dat. Are you going to do the dis or dat that we talked about this morning? I don't even remember what it was. Over there.
Yes, we are.
I don't remember what it was, but you said it was a good one.
Yes.
Riv is here, believe it or not. And Marty Biron, right here, Instigators, WGR.
Did we have a dis or dat that we wrote down for Marty?
You wrote it down the other day.
It's not my book. This is JJ's book.
What was it?
Can't remember. What
sandwiches cut across or corner to corner?
Well, that would go well with my business or that.
All right. When we come back, find out how we like to cut our sandwiches. WGR 550 and MSG, the Instigators.
Welcome back. It is time for this or that because we only have a few minutes here. And Petey was giving in his little boy Brody. Who is not in school, by the way. What school does he go to?
Don't worry about it, Marty.
A bagel this morning with cream cheese.
He's sick.
He's sick. So he was giving him a bagel this morning, and he called him a bagel. So, which led to me, Rivs, I'm going to ask you this because I know what PD says, but is it a bagel or a bagel, this or that?
Say it again.
Is it a bagel or bagel. A bagel?
Bagel.
A bagel or a bagel? Bagel? Or say it again.
Not a bagel. It's a bagel.
But Marty's. No,
how do you say it?
I don't know. I know how you want me to say. You want me to say bagel?
No, but how did you
bagel.
Say
bagel? I say bagel.
Bagel. I say bagel.
It's a bagel.
Say bagel.
Well, you flip flopped three
times. It's a bagel. It's a gaggle.
Yeah, I don't
it's a
say.
It's
I don't
a,
say
what do you mean? It's bagel. A bagel.
I don't say bagel.
Is it beagle or bagel?
Well, do you when you go to the grocery store, do you say I would like a plastic bag or bag?
We're not going to start this. It's,
well, you're
it's a
that's
bag.
Not a long
hey,
A.
It's a bag,
Marty,
but it's a bagel.
It's not a long
let
A.
Let me ask you this one.
No. I got to keep going.
No,
we
no,
got
no.
only
you,
2 minutes.
Let me ask you this one. This what? Or that, do you say pasta or pasta? Pasta or pasta?
I don't say pasta. I say
I
pasta.
Say
bagel. Doesn't matter. Okay, bagel or bagel.
It's
Let's
a great
move on
question,
from there.
Riv. I say pasta now, but I used to always say pasta.
You
so
say
you're
pasta
Americanized.
Now?
They're changing you.
Well, no, I think that's Italian. Don't Italians say pasta?
How about we move to hockey and we forget about the food because it's always going to be a debate for us with food. Who has the better situation moving forward, this or that, Pacioretty or Jeff Skinner? Better situation. Pacioretty in Vegas or Skinner here in Buffalo?
Well, I'll say Pacioretty because he's re-signed already. He signed an extension. But I would say that in terms of being able to probably get back to peak form, I'd say Jeff Skinner. Okay. Absolutely no question.
I say Jeff Skinner because he's going to possibly play with Jack Eichel, and that alone should be the better situation.
They don't have a player in Vegas, in my opinion, no. as good as Jack.
What do you think, Rips? This or that? Skinner or Pacioretty?
Well, here's the thing. The one thing that I look at when you talk about Vegas, Petey, is most likely Pacioretty is going to play with who?
Exactly.
He's going to play with Stastny.
Oh.
Stastny is 100%.
Really?
He is 100% passer. So he has the ability to make. What are you smirking at now? Everything I say.
Well, you guys are like this. I love
Max,
this. I think you guys
Max
just need
Pacioretty.
Wedding bands with each other's names engraved underneath.
Max Pacioretty is a shooter. Stastny is a passer. Skinner, on the other hand, is a shooter. Jack.
Everything.
Is everything. He's a shooter and a passer. So it's all about chemistry. And I can't answer that, which one is going to be more successful, because I think both are in very good situations. And it's about, can you gel with the centerman that you're going to play with?
Quickly, because we have about 90 seconds here. This or that. Henrik Zetterberg announces retirement this morning. The Detroit Red Wings said that Zetterberg is not going to be healthy enough to ever be able to play professional hockey. A few years back, they lost a legend as well in Detroit in Pavel Datsyuk. So I'm asking you, this or that, the better player, Henrik Zetterberg or Pavel Datsyuk?
It's a nonsense question.
Well, no, this or that, pick one and go with it.
It's Datsyuk.
Okay.
Yeah, it's amazing that he's retiring after signing, what was the deal? $73 million, and this year he's going to make $3 million, then he's going to make $1 million, and then the $1 million after that. It's just, it's amazing that he's signing right. It's amazing that he's retiring now after he made $70 million of the $73.
He said when he signed the contract that he was going to probably not play the whole length of the contract.
All right.
But unfortunately,
why would you want to play for $1 million?
But he's going to, it's like Marian Hossa. He's going to be put on long-term IR because of back injuries.
Yeah.
And he can't play anymore. It's not like he's
this.
Trying to circumvent the CBA.
Yeah.
He's retiring.
I will say this. I will say it's been a pleasure to watch both players, Datsyuk and Zetterberg, both extremely, extremely elite players throughout their time in the NHL. To me, Datsyuk is a little bit more dynamic. He was one of the greatest two-way hockey players in the NHL for years, but he was also one of the most dynamic with the puck. He did things that...
The magician.
He was the magician.
He was a pickpocket, right?
He was
a magician, but...
It was amazing what he did with the puck. So.
I appreciate it. We got to get out of here.
I would like to say something. It's an honor to tell you that I was drafted in the same year, four rounds higher than Pavel Datsyuk. Boom! Every GM was sleeping that day.
You know
that
means.
Was a six-round pick, right?
Oh,
that
six means. Round 171.
Bust.
A lot of people got fired over that one. Okay, well, we got to get out of here because when we come back, we have the update. We will get a Sabres player, PD, possibly in the second hour, you think? Probably get Patrick Berglund.
It's going to be hard. They're on the ice right now.
Well,
I mean,
we still have an hour, so maybe they'll put the
Skinner missed
on.
The breakaway. So, okay. I mean, we'll talk about that.
Get us out of here, Petey.
You get us out of here. This
okay,
is
we'll
segment.
Be right back on The Instigator, WGR 550 MSG.
Not bad.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.